Today's daf is daf chaf. Let's take it from the bottom of Yud Tes and Beis from the Tana Rabbanan, around eight lines up. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanan shnayim chasumim al ashtar. Two people have signed on a document. Umesu, and the two people who signed died. Ubo shnayim min ashuk, and two other people came. V'amru yadanu shiksav yadamhu. We know that these people. This was their signature, and it's therefore good. Aval, however, anusim hayu. They were anusim, they were forced into it, or ketanim hayu, or edus hayu. They're somehow disqualified from signing the document, so therefore they're going to be disqualified. So what's the halacha? Harei elu ne'manim, these people are believed, because we only know it's their signature from these other two individuals themselves, and these two individuals, since they're the ones who are giving the whole ne'manis, they're also believed to say that they were disqualified when signing it. Pesha also pesha hit. That same klal. Aval, but if anusim, but if they have other edim, aside from these two who are claiming that they were anusim, they were ketanim, but if there were other sets of edim, that this was the signature, or if their signature was confirmed elsewhere, but if there's some other source, there's another document that's already been approved by Bezdin, confirm that this is a good document, a good signature, and they could compare that the two signatures are the same, so you don't need the first two Edom to say that they're the signature. So we throw them out completely, and we assume that they are good. The Edom were good, the signatures were good, and they were not Anusim, they were not Sule Edis at the time. That is what the Brisa says, similar to what we've been saying up until now. So Gemara says now, Umagbin Bey, Kibishtar Ba'alma. So is this to say, so we have two first Edom say, there's two sets of Edom coming, testifying about the signatures. Now both of them are saying that they're good signatures. But the first set of Edom saying they're good signatures, but they were forced into it, or they're psula edus at the time. The other two say they were just good edus. So why would we collect the shtar? Won't it simply be a situation of treu treinu, where two people are going against each other, and they should both be disqualified, and we shouldn't trust anyone? It should be a suffix, a shtar midin suffix. So the Gemara says, no, Amar of Sheshes, Zosemers, this comes to teach us the following klal, that Hachasha Tchila Hazamir. Very interesting line. There's a lot of lumdas how this exactly works. But Hachasha is the beginning process of Hazama. Hazama is Edom Zomim, where two Edom say that you, two Edom, were with us at this time, at this place, and you couldn't have testified about that. So Hachasha is the beginning process of Hazama. There's some correlation between the two. Okay, so now that there's a correlation, so that tells us that the top of Chaf Amin Aleph now, Uchshem Shein Mazim and Es Ha'edim El Bifneim. The klal is, when it comes to Edom Zomim, you could only be Zomim people if the individuals who are being Huzam are present. If they're not present, you can't be Edom Zomim against, you can't say, you. Those two people were with us. They have to be present when you challenge them that you were with us at this time at this place. The Bifneim. So just like Hazam has to be Bifneim, so too, you could only go against, you could only do hachasha when the two edim are present. In our situation, the edim are not present, they're dead, so that's why it's not a complete hachasha. We don't view this as a normal trey and disqualified. Okay, so that's the case then. If not hachasha, so why do we believe them though? So why do we believe that's a good shtar? So it's not trey utrey, but it still shouldn't be a good shtar, though. That means the two first edim should be good edim.
Right. Because I guess it's becheskas kashus.
Uh-huh. We can't machish them.
Maybe, I don't know.
So becheskas kashus.
The whole concept of tchilas hazama is very strange anyway.
Yes, that.
Because the whole Edim Zomim is a whole thing outside the realm of Eidos in general.
Yeah.
That it should bring a proof of Edim Zomim towards something that it's not. It comes
right. Yeah, this cloud, the Achronim, really.
From the left field.
Yeah, they really grapple with how to understand this, the connection between the two. They're completely
sure,
two different.
The issue was probably spent like.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm trying to remember how this is now. So how does it work that, so we're saying that the second set of Edom cannot disqualify the first set of Edom because they're not Bifneim. So if that's the case, so why do we say that it's a good shtar? If we trust the first Edom, No, so that makes sense.
No, but what the question, the thing is like this, that we say that if they, because we do believe them. If there's nobody else, we believe them.
We believe who, though? There are two people, there are two
Yeah,
sets of
you have
groups.
the Eidim. So the first Eidim died. So then two Eidim come and say, you know, we signed. There's nobody else that can testify anything. So I say, yeah, you know, we testify that we saw them signing, but they were anusim. So in that case, we do believe them. Right. So the question of why do we believe them if they're on the we shouldn't believe them.
I guess maybe it's what you're saying. The status quo is if
No,
they
but
sign.
here we're changing the status quo.
Well, the stat. I guess status quo is that there's a shtar. There's a good shtar. These two Adim are good Adim. We have to just confirm
Right,
it.
first question is the following. Let's say somebody brings the star and there are no Eidim to certify their signature. Would that be okay or not? I guess
No,
not.
we need to certify it, right?
So then we're saying, so then it's a Pesha Asar, a Pesha Itir.
Right.
So in that case, it's clear.
It's
Because
disqualified,
unless
right.
this Eidim come and say yes, then it's disqualified. Then you have the other option where you have other set of Eidim that already certify. So then for sure there we don't believe it because it's not a Pesha. The whole thing is basically on a
Right.
Pesha Asar,
But
a Pesha
when
Itir.
now we're saying when second set of Adim come and say, no, we're certifying that it's their signature.
Right.
So now it's two people are certifying, but one group is saying it's certified, but they were apostle at the time. And one is simply
Yeah,
certifying.
but the whole bottom line is that there is no Pesach HaShem Pesach HaHitir. I don't know why the Gemara brought in this Tchilas HaChasha, but if you take out the Tchilas Zomemim, then you will have no question because it's the same as the previous cases.
But the Gemara is still saying that I hear how it knocks out Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, but it's still two and two. One set of Edom saying it's kosher, one set of Edom in the end is saying it's pasul. So they're
But
going
it
to.
but it doesn't but it doesn't Oh, because you say I tell you why, because you say that they probably didn't do an evla. Yesterday we learned that they are not Rishayim or they don't do an evla. So you want to believe that they wouldn't have signed.
So we're falling back on that. They have some cheses
Probably.
kashers.
Because I tell you why, because you want to believe that the Love made sure that these people were not Ktanim or were not Psule Eidus when he learned he that when he lent the money.
So I think we have to say, based on this discussion, that inherently the shtar is really good before
It's
the
good
certification.
because nobody lends
Right.
money.
We need certification for some extra, just to be extra safe. The extra certification, but really the shtar inherently is a good shtar. So now these Eidim who say they're disqualified, they have no ability to, as long as there's another certification that says they're good, the second set has no ability to undermine the Eidim that exists inherently on the shtar. Because if people are not present, they have to be b'fneiim to machish them. Something like
I
that you have
think
to
so,
say.
yeah.
Okay. So that's all
But that's
according to, yeah.
only according to Rashi, is only because they're not here.
Right, but if they're
If they
there,
were here, then he says it's like Hazama.
and then
You can challenge
you can challenge them, and then it would be trey utrey, and then the whole shtar would be thrown out. It's only because they're not here, which just sounds interesting. If they're not here, they're actually better off than if they were present, which I think what Rav Nachman is about to challenge Rosh Hashanah right now in that idea.
Also, he would say that if the Eidim are there, then it's Tchilas Hazama. And then it will be two against two, and you would basically throw out the whole.
Well, the shtar might be a suffix. You might, whether it's a suffix or maybe it's completely disqualified, but you might have to bring further evidence. It probably, since it's a suffix, you would probably say a motzim a chaver al avaraya, bring proof to change ownership. But for now, we're going to leave things as status quo.
This is in the case.
So that's all according to Rosh Hashanah. Now, Amar Lei Rav Nachman, ilu hava kamon. Now, if they were, let's say, in front of us, they were alive, the
This is
initial
the case.
signatures. Umachishin lehu, havei hachasha, and then two Eidim would say, "But you guys at the time were anusim, you were ketanim, you were psuleidus, lehava mashkichin behu," and they wouldn't be challenging them at all. We wouldn't rely on the Edim. It wouldn't be a good hashkach, if you will. We wouldn't trust the shtar to have like edus mucheshes, because their signatures were now thrown out and challenged. Now hashtag delisnayu. Now that they're not here, we're going to give them more ability. It doesn't make sense that when they're dead, they have more nemanos than when they're alive. Why should that be any different? So Rashi just explains this. So lo hav mashkicharim behu. If they were alive, the ones who signed were alive, and the Edom said they were possible at the time, lo hav mashkicharim behu be'edei hashtar. You wouldn't trust the Edom and the shtar legalos al piyam in order to collect based on their word or based on their signature. Hashta says Rashi dika lemeimar ilo have a kaman. But if they were alive, so right dika lemeimar ilo have a kaman have a modulu amres mehevne. Now, how did I read that line in Rashi?
I think it's with me.
That sounds like right. All right, it's all part of the question. Let's read the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Hashta d'lisnayu. Now that they're not alive, d'ilah have a l'kaman. If they were alive, d'ilah have a modulu mehemne, because they're not believed. Because let's say if they're dead. So then we could say, this is all part of a question, we could say, had they been alive, they may have admitted to everything. The people signed may have admitted, you're right, we were anusim, we were katan, we were psuleidis. So therefore, you can't trust them when they're dead, but when they're alive and they just stay quiet, so then then they're thrown out. Let's try to say it a little bit clearer. Okay, the Gemara says, only because they're not present do we not believe them. But if they were present, the implication of Rosh Hashanah is that we would assume it's mucheshes, and we'd throw out the shtar. And the Gemara says it doesn't make any sense, because what's this svar here? If they were dead, are we concerned that if they were alive, they would have came and admitted to everything? Maybe not. Maybe they would have stood there and said, not sure, we were not anusim, we were not katanim. It's a very, basically, Rav Nachman saying it's a very strange svar to say that because they're dead, they have less nemanos than when they're alive. So Rav Nachman therefore says, El Amar Rav Nachman says, you know, what we're trying to figure out here is why the shtar is a good shtar when you have two sets of Edom who seem to go against each other. So El Amar Rav Nachman, Oki Trei Lahadei Trei, Voki Mamonim Becheskes Maria. No, it's a case of Trei Trei. So if it's a case of Trei Trei, so shouldn't we just leave things, shouldn't we just, how do we collect based on the shtar? The Gemara says we do not collect the shtar, we rather, Oki mamonu mecheskes mar. We don't transfer any ownership. We leave things status quo. We leave things as is. That's how Rav Nachman understands that brisa above. Things remain status quo. Midei dehava anichse dvar shadya. No different than the case of the bar shadya, who's a person. What happened to bar shadya? Zavan nichse. He sold his property. Also betray. And two edim came and said, Amru kishu shote zavan. When he was a shote is when he, well, zavan is to sell, sell or buy. I always forget. I think he sold, yeah. He sold it. So first head of Edom said he was a shota when he sold it. He had no, he was not a bar das at the moment when he sold it. His sale was not a good sale. Vasu betray. But another two Edom said, no, Amru kishu cholim, when he was healthy, mentally healthy, is up when he sold it, and it was a good sale. So what do you do? So the halacha is that, based on this case, you have trey utrey. The halacha is, the Umar, Rashi, I think, quotes the halacha. We say, cheskes mar, oki mamona becheskes mario. When there's trey utrey, we leave things and status quo, just like the case of Bar Shata, is the same exact case here. We have two Edom. One set of Edom say that he has good signatures. The other one says they were good signatures, but yet they were anusim, they are psuleidis, or something like that.
It's still not very clear why the price would just say enam nemanim and it wouldn't go on.
To explain exactly what the, be a little clearer. But since it's unclear, it leaves it open for interpretation. Right. And that's where Nachman of Sheshes come in. So then comes along Rav Ashi, the third opinion. I'm Rav Ashi. Oki trei lahadi trei, vokim amona b'cheskes bar shatya. So what does he do different now here? He says you put two up against two, and then you leave everything as status quo, and you leave it b'cheskes bar shatya. So all right, so he's commenting on that case, right? Yeah, he's commenting on that case. That's halacha. So just like the case of Bar Shatya, that's how we paskin. We do it, leave it as status quo. So too, we do the same thing here. Then the Gemara says, Lo Amron Ela Islay Chazaka Devasai. This is only true that we're Oki Nichse Becheskes Barshatia, that we leave things in status quo when there was a previous Chazaka of his father, of the father of the one selling it, I guess. Maybe the one buying it. About.
Meaning, this is to the seller, was showed to sometimes or not.
So only if there was a chazaka of Barshatia's father that he had ownership, right, do we say leave it a status quo. About Lesle, Gemara says, Lesle chazaka devasay, if there's no chazaka of his father, father had no chazaka, Amrinan kishu shote zavan. So we say that when he's a shote is when he sold the land. So if you look at Rashi, you say it twice?
He was a shote when he bought it, and he was a shote when he sold it. Zavan and zavin.
So he sold it. So he sold it when he bought it. He bought it back here also. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says about lesle bu chazaka davase. If there's no chazaka of Barshatya's father, El chazaka din afshe, only his own chazaka, shekananhu, when he bought them, b'huchzaku biyado kikniyaso kach mechiraso. He held it a chazaka in his own hand, ein chazgaso chazaka levata mechiraso. So we say, okay, so just like right now, his chazaka, maybe it's a chazaka now, when he sold it, also he had a chazaka when he bought it. So meaning he never really had a chazaka in the first place to have, he's never had status quo on it.
They were never his.
Right. Because his chazaka is challenged both from the beginning.
The bottom line is that the nechasim are still under his rishus.
So I guess when it comes to chazaka, it doesn't depend on... All chazaka
we're
does...
We're talking about land, probably.
Yeah, we're talking about land. So cheskas gimel shanim.
Otherwise.
So chazaka only works to prove that the initial sale was a good sale.
But
if he didn't have the ability to have the sale... So in general, Shota made a purchase and he sat in the land for 3 years, it's not going to be a good chazaka because it's only, the Cheskas Gimel Shanim only gives strength to the initial purchase.
Right.
He doesn't have the ability to purchase something, so therefore he's thrown out. So the only time we say it remains in the hands of Barshatya is if his father, who was a Bikeach, had a chazaka. But if he had a chazaka, so just like his sale is challenged because he don't know his mental status, so to his initial purchase was challenged, so therefore his chazaka is completely thrown out the window and we give it to the purchaser, the second purchaser. So Amar Rabbi Abohu, Abohu says, now, Ein Mazimin Es Ha'edim Ela B'fam. He challenges, he says, just like we said before, Hazama only exists in front of the people, and that's based on Pesukim. We didn't read this inside, but Rashi on the top of the page told us it's based on Pesukim, has to be in front of the Baal. However, says Rabbi Abohu, U'machishin es ha'edim shelo b'fnem. But when you do hachasha, the edim do not have to be present at the time of hachasha. That's his call. He distinguishes between the two. So then the Gemara says, V'hazama shelo b'fnem. If hazama took place not in front of the Baalim, still says the Rabbi Abohu, or maybe I'm not sure the Gemara is interjecting here. Nihi dehazama lo havya, hachashim yahavya. Okay, you're right. It's not going to be the halachas of hazama, and you cannot inflict punishment based on what he tried to do, but you can still view this as a hachasha to contradict the words of the initial edim. Right, so Rashi just says, Nihi dehazama lo havya, la'on sham lo lenefesh lo mamon. You can't punish them. You can't give them misa. You can't give them make them pay a monetary payment punishment. However, hachasha havi levatel idusan, but it does have the ability to cancel them out. So you have two edim.
This is
halacha, right? I'm not sure we paskin this way. It sounds like we do based on the notation of the Rambam. But what happens if two edim say a certain event happened? Then another set of edim say when they already left. They left the country. These set of edim say that those two edim ran away. They were actually with us at that place at that time, and they couldn't have testified. So those two edim who ran away now cannot be punished because they're not present to defend themselves, but they can be rejected. Their words are completely thrown out the window.
Right, so in this case would be what? That it's a forged signature?
This would be, well, we're not. He's talking about in general.
Because one thing is when you testify orally, meaning you say this guy killed this guy or this guy, but here is a shtar that's signed by two edim, so maybe the shtar had the wrong date, or maybe... You're not talking about because the signature is there.
Signature is there. Right, I guess it could have been forged, exactly. If you're talking about a signature,
right.
I think Rabbi Bo is just saying a general statement about Hazam and Hachasha, but to apply it to Shtar, yeah, you have to say it's forged.
Right.
Now there is a machlokas achronim. So now that in this case where the hazama is shelo b'fnehem, so we view this as edus hachasha. There's a machlokas. Let's say I'm the edim here. I'm testifying against these people who ran away. I'm giving hazama. Normally edus hachasha means that both sets of edim who go against each other, they're both thrown out the window. In this situation, when we have hazama, we say the mazimim are believed, the huzamim are not believed. So now this case, though I'm trying to be mazim them, but they ran away, so now it turns into a chasha. Does that mean that both our words are rejected? I'm also now going to be rejected? It's like regular trey? Or no, it just means it's really hazama. I believe they're not. I just cannot inflict the punishment because they're not present. So is this really a din of hazama, or is it really a din of hachasha, where I'm also, in turn, it like reflects back on me and rejects my statement as well? That's a machlokas that's found in the Achronim.
Here it's saying that it's only with mammon. נגד עדים שלא בפניהם מתכבדת רק בנוגע לממון ולא בנוגע לעדים עצמם ועיין חידוש. So it would seem that it's only this problem is not in mammon, but I assume that if somebody has to get killed, let's say, you probably,
I think, imagine you believe them also. If
I also imagine,
so I'm not sure. Rashi says both nefesh v'lo mammon. Let's see. Okay, I don't see anything down here about that. All right. Now the Gemara halfway down says, "Amar." We said above, "Im yesh edim shiksav yadam huze o shayaksav yadam yosim imakam acher." So the initial case was where you had two signatures. Two edim say these are the certifying these signatures, but at the time they were anusim. So we believe them and they just throw out the star. But let's say there are two other edim and say, no, these were good signatures. So you don't need the first set of edim. Or if you have some other document you could compare, a ready pre-certified document to compare that these signatures, that's another way. So the Gemara says, again, Osha yaksav yadam yotzim imakum acher, mishtar shekara olav arar, huchzak bebezdin ein nemanim. So the Gemara says, it's only a situation where it's a document that had been challenged and then they have to go to Bezdin and have it certified. So the Gemara makes that diak. Shekar lav arar, it's only a situation in only when that document was challenged, but lo kara lav arar, but if the document we bring with the other signatures was never challenged, lo, it's not going to be good, it's not going to be certified, has to go through the process of bezin, has to be challenged by someone to really make sure that it was certified signatures. And the Gemara says this idea that has to be, again, a challenged document that was then certified, it's Messiah Lele Rabbi Yassi. This supports the statement of Rabbi Yassi, who says that Rabbi Yassi ain't mekayimim es hashtar. You could only mekayim a shtar from a previous Ela Mishtar Shekar Alav Arar v'huchzak bebezin, from a previously challenged document that went ahead through based in process and had been certified.
Meaning you can only use a previous signature if there was an arar and then it was certified.
Exactly.
But somebody just brings another star, it's useless.
It could be mezuyav. The guy could have simply forged it. There's no proof. So now, in theory, you could have a document that wasn't challenged but was certified by Bezin.
Right.
That, I would imagine, would be good.
It should be good.
Yeah. I imagine so.
That without it's also fine.
Right, I would imagine it would be the pashas. Because how often is there a document that's being challenged? It's pretty rare, so therefore it's not a real feasible option to start comparing documents. But it's a machlokas apparently. Gemara now says, Amri Nahardai. In Nahardai they said the following, Ein mekaimen es hashar ela mishtake suvos. You need two documents. It's not enough to have one, you need two documents. It's like, you know, when you're trying to get a new driver's license or a passport, you need to have multiple documents proving, exactly, two pieces of ID. That's the Hawi Paskin. Nahardai said, you need two pieces of ID, mishtake suvos or mishtake sados. Vehusha has to be two ksubos or two fields, and also has to be Vehusha achlum balem shlosha shanim uveshufi. Has to be a situation where there was a chazaka on the land. Not only that he has documents that it was bought, that he bought it, but he has to also be there for 3 years, that it was continually held by him, and Beshufi, consecutive, without anyone protesting his ownership of the land.
So let's say if you need two additional documents to prove this document.
Two
additional star.
Not additional to what? To the initial one?
To the initial one.
Right, exactly. So you need two documents to prove the original one, and they have to come along with a chazaka. They've been there for 3 years. Like
here we're talking about somebody who brings a sale. We're talking about a sale of karka, right?
The initial case, so we didn't have a.
We were talking about a lovi and a lovi, but here we know.
Not necessarily. Our initial case of shtar back in New Testament days was just a regular shtar. We weren't told what was written in the shtar.
So here's talking about somebody who sold the land.
This case. Yeah, Rashi says we're talking about a case of what's been sold, right? Right. So you're saying, so what about a case? No. The document that has to be used has to be from a sale.
Right.
But we could use that to prove a loan or other type of document. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think we're talking about certifying any kind of document. But then the other documents that you're using, the alternate IDs. It could be from a kasuba, two kasubas, or two sales, a field.
And the field have to be a situation where you were sitting there for
right.
3 years.
If you're using right. the field, it had to be a situation where he had a chazaka.
It reminds me of like taxes and income tax in Florida. You can't just own a piece of property that you have to be there for more than 6 months of the year and you need proof that you've been there 6 months to avoid the income tax. Okay. The Gemara says now, Amar Rabbi Simi Bar Ashi. Ubiyote mitachas yad acher has to also come from a document from another person who has holding on to the document. Aval miyad asmalo, but if it comes from his own, he says, "What do you mean? I've got the guy who's trying to prove the document says I've got two other documents here, the same signatures here. It's good. We won't trust him. Why? Maishna tachas yad atmo delo. Why don't we trust the guy who takes out of his back pocket? He has two other documents. It's been certified. Duma zuyufe muzayef." Maybe he forged it. He compared the signatures, traced over them, and wrote exactly how the other signatures were. But shouldn't they also be concerned if it comes from another guy? Maybe they're doing some type of a harama together, and he also forged the signatures? Mara says, Dilma also v'chazi, asi v'sayef. Maybe he went to his neighbor's house and compared the documents, traced over, got the exact signatures. Mara says, Kuli hai lo matzi mechavin. A person's not going to be so exact. There's only so much a person's going to do zif. So if it's in his own house, he pulls it out of his own house and he's able to trace it over. So that's where we're really concerned he's being mizayef. But to go to his neighbor and to quickly go, I'm running to the bathroom, go to the guy's file cabinet and take out the document, start tracing over, that's a bit much. We're not concerned that we're going to go so far to do that. And therefore, the documents have to be, two documents, has to be on the land for 3 years, bishufi, and has to come from someone other than himself. Okay. Marnell says, Tana Rabbanon. Kosev adam eduso al hashtar who made aleh. So a person can write his testimony on a document and then testify on it afilul acher kamishanim, even after many, many years. Now there's a big machlokas how to understand this line we just read. We're going to go with Rashi. Rashi says, Kosev adam, this is around 10 lines from the bottom. Kosev adam im aso eid bedavar. The guy becomes a witness. The yare lishocho. He was scared he's going to forget the testimony. Koso al chatichas klaf. You can write it on a piece of paper. Umatznia and hide it somewhere. Umeid al pi also ksav afilu achar kamishanim. And he could always testify based on what he wrote many years later. As we know now in the American court system, it could be years before a court case gets into action. So he could be testifying about an event that happened 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago. So he doesn't want to forget. He writes it down, puts it away, and later on when it comes for the court case, he's able to testify based on what he says, what he wrote down. Now, there's a problem, mipiem v'lo mipiksavam. You can only testify about a testimony, what you actually articulate and say, not based on what's written down. So the Gemara says, it clarifies that Amar Rav Huna v'hu shezochre me'atzmo has to be where he remembers it on his own, says Rashi, b'lo ries hashtar nizkar k'tas me'eduso me'elav. He remembers somehow some event happened, and this jogs his memory, but for the most part, he remembers the idea. Only then can we rely on it, because that's mipiem as opposed to mipiksavam. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Afal pisha ein zochrei me'atma. Even if he doesn't remember on his own, Rashi says ela la'acher shiroa b'shar. He looks back in the document and then his memory is jogged. Nasim b'libo v'niskar shelo nishtakeach mimeno kolkach shemaskirin lo niskar. Aval ein niskar legamri lo. The Rachman Amar mipim lo mipiksavim. So it has to be a situation. Even if he looks, he doesn't remember at all. He looks back at his documents. He says, "All right, I remember this happening." And he starts remembering the whole event. That's okay. But if he's looking at it and says, "I don't remember this, but may I'll testify anyways." Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So then he's not trusted. So that's all according to Rashi's understanding of this Gemara, that somehow it jogs the memory. And you're not really, when he testifies, the issue of mipiyam lo mipiksavam means usually you hand in a document as a, this is my testimony. That's not good. He has to articulate it. The ksav is simply there to remind him and get his memory back working for him to say what he had witnessed. That's why it's permitted. That's why it's not mipiksavam. It's just a way to jog his memory. Gemara says now, Amar Rabba, Shema Mina, we learn from here, Midi Rabbi Yochanan, we learn the following, that Hani Beit Shrei, two people, the Yodeh Sadusa, that two people had witnessed something. U'minashe Chaminai, one of them forgot it. Midi Charcha Lecharei, his friend says, remember what happened, you remember all these things? We can rely on them, because that just helps him jog his memory. That's going to be okay. Gemara asks now, Ibailu Atzmamai, what about himself? So Rashi says, "Atma mai im bal din atmo maskiro achinizkar mai." What if the bal din, the litigant, reminds the witness? Is that going to be allowed? I understand the two witnesses; they're not biased, so then you could trust each other. But the guy himself, who's involved, who's being testified against, or perhaps for, maybe he shouldn't have the right to remind the aide. He's obviously very biased. So says the Gemara, "What's the halacha?" Rav Chaviva Amar Afilu Atma, even himself, because again, we're not relying, he's just trying to hit a point, hit a nerve to get the mind to start working. We don't care where that comes from, it's really his own memory that we're relying on. But according to Mar Bre, the Rav Ashi Amar Atmala, we do not rely on the guy himself, the Baal Din, he's not allowed to remind the aide. We're concerned of some bias going on here. Hilchsa, the Psak is Atmala, we do not rely on him he cannot remind the aide what he saw. However, eid turim mirabanan hu afil atzma. But if the aide is a turim mirabanan, which is a talmud chacham, even the baal din himself can remind them. Rashi explains why afil atzma shel baal din turim dirabanan ilav dechirami anafshe mitchar shapir lo havasamech asveik lamekam vasudei. Had the turim mirabanan not really relied on his own abilities, he would never testify. We trust him that he's not going to say, "Meh, it sounds like it's right and I'll testify." Only if he's certain that he really remembers it will he go ahead and testify, otherwise not. So even from him, we do allow the Atzmo to remind the Tzubra Mirabanan. These are one of the number of halachas that we have where Tzubra Mirabanan have an exception to the rule. One that comes to mind is that there's something in Eilu Metzius about Tvias Ayin, that a person may not exactly remember, have the simanim to tell about a lost object, but if it's tfias ayin, he looks at, that's mine. We don't trust people, but a turba mirabanan we do trust. These are one of the things that people might find to be unfair, but there are a number of halachas we do trust.
Tamil Chacham. Besides if it's a turba
mirabanan. Right. Yeah. So that's
the biggest question.
Yeah.
He has to bring
Aiden. Okay, the Gemara says now, Gemara gives an example of what we just saw. Kiha, the Rav Ashi hava yadia le b'sadusa le Rav Kana. Rav Ashi knew a certain testimony about Rav Ashi, Rav Kana rather. Amrle midachar mar hai sadusa. So I guess Rav Kana says to Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi is the aide, so he says, Rav Kana says to Rav Ashi, "Do you remember this thing that happened to me?" Amrle lo, I don't remember. But didn't this happen and that happen? Do you remember all this? Amar lei lo, I don't. Lo yadana, I don't know what you're talking about. Rav Kana says, as Rav Ashi says rather. Lasof itkar, after being really pressed, he says, "Oh, you know what? I actually do remember all of this." So Rav Ashi asid lei, Rav Ashi testified against or for Rav Kana. Chazal Rav Kana the havi machsim. So Rav Kana became silent. Rashi says megam game tama al Rav Ashi shehid badaver. Rav Kana was so bewildered that he started testifying about him because it didn't seem like Rav Ashi really remembered anything. Amalei misvaras alecha kasamichna, ana havadrami anafshi vadicharei. You think I'm relying on you? I think I just, since you told me to testify, I'm testifying just based on what you said. No, you said certain things which jog my memory. I'm really saying what I actually remember, and therefore I am a qualified aid. The Gemara now says, Tanan Hasam, the Gemara, yeah. Right, I guess by you saying I don't know Adis is not a testimony that's filed away.
By you saying I don't remember.
I don't remember, right.
You're not, and then you remember, you cannot say once you said you don't remember, right. You can't change it anymore.
Okay. The Gemara now quotes a Mishnah that appears in Olos. Tanan Hasam. Tilulios, which are little mounds, a tala, tails, a mound, a little mound of dirt. Hakrovos, that are close, bein l'ir, bein l'derech, whether it's close to the city, close to the path, the street. Echad chadash is whether it's a newly built mound, or echad yishanos, or it's an older mound. The halach is tameos. If it's close to the city and to the field, to the derech rather, they're going to be tame.
Meaning it's just like a pile of dirt.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And we think there might be somebody buried inside.
Exactly. We're concerned there's something buried, a mace, a nafel, something buried inside, and therefore a Kohen who passes shouldn't pass over, someone who has Chumos or Taros passes over, there's a concern that they're going to be Tamim. However, if they're Rechokos, if they're far from the city and from the Derech, Chadashos, Taros, if they're newly built mounds, then they're going to be Tahor, but Yeshanos, Tameos. If they're old, ready for many, many years, which we'll see in a second what that means, then they're going to be Tamim. So Gemara clarifies, Ezu Krova, what's considered close to the city or close to the derech? Chamish Mama, 50 amos. We found that elsewhere also in the Gemara's in Bava Basra talk about 50 amos is considered karov to many halachas. Ve'ezi shana, what's considered old in terms of years? Shishim shana, 60 years, Divrei Rebbe Meir, 60 years is considered old. Okay, now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, krova, shein krova himana. What krova means is there's no closer mound to it. It's the closest one to the city. It could be 500 meters away, and it could still be considered karov. It has to be the closest to the city. Yeshana shein adam zochra. Old means somebody doesn't remember it anymore. That's what yeshana means. So different definitions of yeshana. They all both agree to the halachas of the applications, but they're defining old and close differently. So my ear, my derech. Now we have to define what does it mean a city. Well, there's a lot of open questions here. So we defined old. We defined the distance. Now we have to define what's a city and what's a path. Ilema ear mamish. If it means literally a city. And derech mamash literally means a path. Misveka mim mechaskina and tuma. So based on a suffix, we have no idea what's in the mound. Based on a suffix, we're going to say, oh, they're probably tame. That can't be the case. V'hama reish lakish ila matso v'taro eretz yisrael. Ila, I think, literally means like an opening. They found a way up. They found some opening. Rashi explains, alila ba'alma matsu chachamim. They found some type of opening. V'chzika ba they found a way to be mitar Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi, I don't know the context here, but Rashi continues to say, Maseches Nazir Beperek Basra, Alma Misveka Lo Machaskin and Tuma Bekarkosh Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, we do not say, based on a suffix, we're going to be matame things. We don't do that. When there's a suffix in Eretz Yisrael, we assume Tahor. So you can't just simply say that since we don't know, it's a possibility that someone buried a nafil or a mace in this mound, it's going to be tame. So that can't be the case of a ir mamish, of a derech mamish. So what's this talking about? What's the city? What's the derech? Amr Bizera, ir hasmucha lebeis haklara. This city that is adjacent to a cemetery, and a derech beis kvaros, a path that leads to beis kvaros. And there's more than just a suffix. There is a good reason to think that the mounds are filled with mesim. So Gemara says, let's understand. Bishma derech beis kvaros. I understand on the path along the way to the cemetery, de zimnin de misrame ben hashmashos, Umikre covered betel. That certain times where the sun was beginning to set, they didn't have time to make it to the cemetery. They had to bury it before sunfall, so they therefore had to bury it in the mound. That was the closest thing they were able to find. It was on the way to the derech. They got stuck. Timing didn't work out. Rashi says particularly the misami ben hashmashos shel Shabbos. It was Friday night. It was because in vein shalos leilech ad beis kvaros. It was during the weekday. So I guess even though our custom is not to bury at nighttime, Yerushalayim their custom is. I don't think elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael they bury at nighttime, though, do they? I think only
I was in the corner of
only Yerushalayim they bury at nighttime. I don't think anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why Rashi says it has to be dafka Friday night. Friday night, you obviously can't bury anymore. You can't bury on Shabbos. But I would imagine even during the week, you can't bury on Shabbos at nighttime during the rest of the week, I thought. But maybe I'm wrong. Let me just see. Don't say anything. Okay. So again, I understand we could assume if a mound was found along the path along to the base kvaros, it could be assumed, at least not 100%, but it's all likelihood that the mace is buried in one of those mounds because it's very possible someone along the way, the base kvaros didn't make it the whole way, had to bury last minute. Ella, but if it's a situation here, hasmuch lebeis kvaros, kul lebeis kvaros azle. Every mound that's near a city, next to a cemetery, we have to assume it's mounds of people buried there. Why do you have to make such an assumption? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, mitoch sha noshim kovo sham nefelim. Umokesh chin zerosem ad zerosem. So what happens is a mother, Rachman Latzlan, has to bury a stillborn, and they don't, you know, the stillborns typically don't go to base kvaros. They can be buried anywhere. So, or a mukashchin, a person whose body is full of boils, literally, but they're having some sickness, some disease, where mamish limbs begin to fall off, and so they need to be buried as well. They cut them off, amputees. This the Gemara talks about. We'll read Rashi in a second. I'll tell you an interesting halacha in just a moment. But because the mothers bury the nafels and the mukashchin bury their limbs, ad chamishim ama ozla ihi lechudei. A woman or mukashin is willing to go the distance of 50 amos on her own, but beyond 50 amos it's a bit too scary for her. She's not going to go alone to go that far off from the city. So then already, once she's going so far, she'll make it to the base kvaros. So that's why, according to Rav Meir, it's a distance, a radius of 50 amos within the city. Those mounds have the din of a.
But we said the Mishnah says hakrovos mainly when the belader. Okay. So this is Rechokos. Right. So he's saying more than 50.
The
it's more than 50, and if they're new, they're tahor. But it's more than 50, and the Yeshonas, they're also tmeios. So the only case would be more than 50 and chadashos.
That would be tahor.
That would be everything else is tahor.
Right.
That's the only case.
Exactly. Okay, and then the Gemara has one more line here. Hilkach tuma be'eretz Yisrael lo mechazkinan. Therefore, the tuma in eretz Yisrael, they're not mechazkinan. Right? Why is that? Because since women don't go so far, they don't go beyond 50 amos to bury them in the just open area. We could therefore assume that the areas of eretz Yisrael are tahor and not tuma. Now you look at Rashi for a second. Mukashchin, Rashi writes, Sheivarehem noflin oshchotchin osan. The limbs fall off, or they have to cut them for some medical reasons. Veiver minachai mitamei keiver minameis kedamrinan behover rotev. The halacha is that eiver minachai, a limb from a live person, is a din of a eiver from a dead person, and is mitamei kohen.
Like a mace.
So the question becomes: is there a chi of kavura for an eiver minachai? That's a shaila. So when I had my appendix removed a few weeks ago, the Shabbos afterwards, I woke up. I'm like, oh, what happened? Where's my appendix? Do I have to bury my appendix? That's why I started wondering. I started looking around a little bit. So the halacha is that Rav Shechter told me that the Rav Moshe's a tshuva, that he says the fact that the Eiver Minachai is metame, so too Eiver Minachai requires kavura. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. He thinks they're the same things. Rav Moshe says, most people, Pischei Tshuva quotes a Chassam Sofer that says no. Two different halachas. Einach Nami, an Eiver Minachai, is metame, but doesn't mean it needs to be buried. It could just be out of, so no one becomes tame. And that's only by an Eiver, but by an organ, an appendix, or anything else. That's not considered an Eiver.
Exactly.
It's not even metame, so certainly there's no din of Kavura for that. Okay, the Gemara says now, Elmer of Chisa, yeah.
So kind of Goy? Grab an organ from an animal and eat it?
Well, Eiver Minachai, it's also a halacha of eating Eiver Minachai. So there's Eiver Minachai, the Isser Tid, there's Eiver Minachai, the Isser, the Chi of Tumah, and the Kura. In terms of Isser, I believe that the organ would be a problem also of Eber Menachai eating it.
No, but that's Eber Menachai from anyway. So it's Shema Mitzvah.
No, I was taking an organ.
Oh, you mean that organ?
Yeah. Take out a heart. It's an interesting shot, I think. I don't know. I think it's by any piece, but I don't know for sure. Speaking of burying, if you have a few minutes, I was Eretz Yisrael, so I went to a two army bases. One of them was a canine unit where they have all the dog training, and they showed us some of the training they do and how they had this one guy, poor guy, was dressed in one of these like thick coats, and the dog attacked him and was like yanking his arm off, and it was very hard to get it off. So then after the whole presentation, they took us to the cemetery of the dogs who either died in battle or died from a medical reason. They have a whole cemetery dedicated to them, and there's a whole, they have a funeral when this happens, and they have somewhat of a hesped also. If it was like a medical reason, the veterinarian would come and say, you know, what the situation, and if it was in battle, is what they call the handler, the soldier who would be watching, would say what he did in battle. So I was wondering, you know, I don't know if there's a problem to bury, but I wonder if there's any idea to bury an animal. I don't think there is, but the person showing us around said to us he felt this was the heart of the base, because if you don't show respect to the dogs after they die in battle, then they're not going to show respect to the dogs when they are in battle, and to have that relationship with the dogs, you have to have the bond. Yes. If you simply view them as dogs, then they're not going to build the kesher the same way, but if you show them the right kavod after they die, then they'll build up the kavod during the lifetime with each other. Yeah, all psychological. It's amazing on the whole base how much everything is so psychological. It's absolutely wild. So then they find the Gemara says, now a few more lines, maybe we'll stop at the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, Shmami Nam Rabbi Meir, we learn from Rabbi Meir, Hai Sadusa Ad Shisin Shanin Midchar, Tve Lo Midchar. So the reason why we brought this whole Mishnah is because according to Rabbi Meir, he defined what does it mean old. Old is 60 years. Beyond 60 years, within 60 years is new. More than 60 years is considered old. Why? Is it not to say that people don't remember 60 years? They're just not going to remember the halacha. So 60 years is a limit of remembering. And we've been talking about what people remember, how long people remember for. And Gemara says, no, lohi, not true. Hasam hu dilo ram yaleh. Over there by the case of the Tal, people don't feel obligated to remember where this one was buried, where that one was buried, this mound, that mound. So 60 years is for a person who's not really paying attention. But here by the situation of the Eidus, where a person knows he's being a witness, he's going to remember for the rest of his life. There's no limit on when he's going to remember. And that's the Gemara's Mechalik between two different types of memories. Okay, we'll stop here.
Because by the time they're 80, it's probably more reliable.